Praise the Lord, everyone. Oh, praise the Lord. It's wonderful to know the Lord, isn't it? And those songs we can sing. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes. They looked for him to come the first time, and now we are waiting the second time. Oh, praise the Lord. In one of these days, it will be a reality. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. It sounds like Brother Tim is doing pretty good, at least this morning. Things were pretty much on track. He may get dismissed tomorrow, not quite sure, but thank God that he's doing okay and that the Lord is with him. The Lord is healing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord, and we praise you, God. We just thank you, God, that we can put our faith, our trust, our hope in thee. Oh, God, you know the end from the beginning. And, oh, God, you've called us to walk with you, Lord. You've called us, oh, Lord, what a holy calling. What a privilege, what a joy, Lord, that, oh, God, you have made yourself known to us, Lord. Oh, God, we can sing, oh, Lord, knowing that you are real, knowing that you are God, knowing that there is none beside thee, knowing that thou hast come to this earth, Lord, and, oh, you paid the price, the ransom for our souls. And, oh, we thank you, God. We're so grateful. We're so thankful. Oh, God, we look to thee, Lord. We ask that you'd be here, that you'd meet every need, Lord Jesus, that you talk with each and every individual, Lord, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, and, oh, God, the ability to acknowledge thee. Oh, God, to continue with thee, Lord, to walk with thee. Oh, God, each and every one of your people, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that you'd be here. I pray that you give me the words, the ability, the authority, the anointing in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, let thy will be done and let it be accomplished. We thank you, God. Talk to every heart. We thank you and praise thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, praise the Lord. It seems like we continue here tonight. To talk about how we have found him. Praise the Lord. I think this is part four. Praise God. But, oh, thank God that we have such knowledge. And it's not just knowledge, you know, because he's become real to us. He's become our Savior. He's become our friend. He is our soon coming King. We know in our heart, oh yes, we can feel his presence. We know that he is real. And oh yes, he's touched us in so many ways. And oh, I thank God for those moments when he comes down and we can feel his presence. We can know that he's walking in our very midst. Oh, praise the Lord, up and down the aisles. Oh yes. Oh, pausing, oh my, to meet the needs that are upon us as individuals. And we are so blessed, amen. We are so blessed, amen. Oh, it's not just a rumor to us, but it's a reality. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Okay, we're going to go back to John, the first chapter. And again, oh my, we just, we've read the wonderful news when Jesus first came into this world, and oh yes, how it was that Andrew, who was a disciple of John the Baptist, when John directed him to the Lamb of God, Andrew followed him, praise the Lord, and oh, there was a great understanding because he went to find his brother, Simon Peter, and told him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Praise the Lord, they just knew it. And that's a wonderful thing. And then Jesus found Philip. And Philip came to Nathanael, and oh yes, he too, it was in his heart, and he knew it of a surety. And he said, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then, oh yes, Nathanael, after his encounter with Jesus Christ, oh, he could say, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Praise the Lord. And so Jesus' ministry on this earth began. And thank the Lord for those that followed him, that had that insight in their hearts to see and understand who he was. Praise the Lord, you know, Jesus makes himself a reality to each and every one of us when we draw nigh unto him. Oh, when we seek him with all our heart, he knows how to get our attention. He knows how to call us unto salvation. And it's a remarkable thing. You know, we have the Samaritan woman in the fourth chapter of John, and that is such an amazing story too, because, you know, here she was, not the best of people by any means. She'd obviously had a lot of men, and oh my, was not considered of, you know, to be of good repute, and you know, all this is and that. But yet the Lord Jesus sat down by the well there, knowing that she was going to come out, and he was going to have a talk with her. And it's so amazing because, oh my, he offered her salvation, the living water. He made it known to her. And oh yes, he told her that he had a water. Oh, that those that would drink of it would never thirst again. He compared it to the well there at Jacob's well, and the water that was coming forth from it. And you know, yeah, if you have a drink of that water, you're going to get thirsty again. But Jesus offered her water, oh, from which she would never thirst again should she partake of it. But that water would be unto her, or to everyone that would partake of it, oh, it'd be like a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And that is so amazing because, yes, is offered to us too. Oh, the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, that water. Oh, yes, that water that we can partake of. Oh, praise the Lord, that dwells within our very being. Oh, yes, and oh, when we partake of it, oh, there's always more. It is a well that never runs dry. And you know, it was so remarkable, and I know you know this story too. You know how Jesus fully revealed himself to this woman, such as she was. And you know, after this conversation and Jesus telling her, you know, that she could go call her husband and come hither, the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." And Jesus said unto her, "Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly." And you know, it just, you see the progression here as this woman was beginning to understand. There's something so phenomenal about this man, just something so beyond anybody else that she'd ever met. And you know, she began to perceive that he was a prophet. And she said in verse 20 here, the fourth chapter of John, "Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship." Of course, understanding that he was a Jew. But Jesus, oh my, she wasn't ready for his explanations, was she? "Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father." Oh, and I like that too, because, you know, wouldn't it be something if we had to go to Jerusalem to find God? But no, oh no, that isn't the case at all. You know, Jesus went on to say, "Ye worship you know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. for the Father seeketh such to worship him. And praise the Lord, we are so blessed, oh my, to know who Jesus is. Oh yes, to be called to serve him. Oh, to be his disciple. Praise the Lord, we are so blessed. And oh yes, Jesus clearly told her that that hour was coming, and he said it now is. Yes, Jesus was coming. He was on that earth to bring forth the kingdom of God. And yes, he was, you know, beginning to display it and to reveal it. And oh my, it was right there. Oh my, to be realized. Praise the Lord. So he says in verse 23, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And he explained, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, that is what God requires. You know, some people may know parts of the Word of God and they may have some truth. Some people may have, oh, God in spirit, oh my, but be wavering in truth. But God wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Both of them are required. Both of them are necessary. And you know, as Jesus was speaking to this woman and revealing himself to her, she's starting to get it. Verse 25, she saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And then, to her amazement, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus. Oh, the one that had been promised to come into the earth. Oh, to come into the world, to seek and to save those that were lost, to redeem his people, to set them free. He had come, and oh, yes, he revealed himself to this woman. Such an amazing thing here. Oh, they couldn't understand, you know, his disciples came and they marveled here. He was talking to a woman and not just a woman, a Samaritan woman. And, you know, that wasn't, you know, expected. That wasn't protocol. But yet, Jesus was on a mission. And, oh, yes, he knew what he had to do. And, oh, yes, when it was the moment to do so, to even reveal himself to individuals. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, who had faith and oh, who would accept him. And oh, yes, it goes on that, oh, that woman, oh, she went, she left her water pot. She went into the city and she went to all that she could see, all the men that were here and there in that city, and said, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ, the anointed one? And oh yes, they had to come and see for themselves. And the marvel of it, oh yes, you know, the woman's word was amazing. Yeah, it touched them, you know, and they began to wonder. But it tells us after they had encountered Jesus, oh yes, many more of them believed because of the words of Jesus Christ. Oh, they said in verse 42, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, they could tell. I love how the Lord reveals himself to us. You know, sometimes it might be gradual and sometimes it might be just, you know, all at once. You know, it's a reality and understanding in our hearts. But it's the Lord who opens up our hearts so that we can perceive and understand. Oh, such a marvel. You know, in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke, You know, we have Jesus beginning his ministry here. At first, he went into the wilderness and he was tempted of the devil for 40 days. And praise the Lord, in all that in which he was tempted, he had the very right reaction and the very right reasoning. And oh yes, the devil was rebuked. He never gave in to those temptations. And after the devil left and departed from him for a season, he tells us in verse 14 here in this fourth chapter of Luke, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And you know, after you go through a trial, and you have been tested and tried, and oh, by the might and power of God, by the strength of God, by his faith that he gives unto us, you defeated him. Oh my, you're going to, you know, come back with more confidence, more faith, more ability, more power than you had before. And so it was. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And here it tells us in verse 16 that he goes to Nazareth, the town where he grew up. And you know, it's kind of amazing to see this response. It tells us, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah in other words. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And yes, he turns to Isaiah 61. And he begins to read, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And oh my, you know, he read that part, and oh yes, then there was a pause. Oh yes, as he turned that book, gave it back to the minister there of the synagogue, and he sat down. Oh, it says he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. And oh, you can imagine as he read that, because Jesus, when he taught, it was with authority, oh, that they had never witnessed before. It says, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Can you imagine? Here it had been all the decades, all the years, all the centuries where they had waited and waited, you know, for the Savior, the Messiah to come. And finally that moment came to fruition, and here he is. He's reading from Isaiah 61. And oh my, they are marveling. They are looking at him. And oh yes, as their eyes are fastened on him, Jesus began to say unto them in verse 21, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Oh, praise the Lord, it had come to pass, that which had long been awaited. And we read on, and all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. But you see here, yes, he was a homeboy. And they had witnessed him growing up as a child into adulthood. And you know, it was a stumbling block unto them. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And, you know, so they couldn't seem to perceive that he was the one who was to come, the one whom Isaiah the prophet was speaking of there in that 61st chapter of Isaiah. And so the story continues, verse 23. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. Oh, they could only see him as a homeboy, you know, and oh my, the son of Joseph. And it didn't seem to penetrate behind, you know, beyond that. You know, they didn't see and understand. Such a contrast to those that instantly seemed to know. But he goes on, but I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias or Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. And unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And I believe it's Zarephath there in the Old Testament, and now we've got it in the Greek, rather, so in the spelling is a little different than it is in the Old Testament. And then Jesus went on. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Eliseus the prophet, or Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, or was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And it tells us, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Here he is, just beginning his ministry, and they're already ready to kill him, ready to throw him down the cliff. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So there we see how it was in Nazareth, and how they could not seem to grasp who Jesus was. They just, you know, didn't have those ears to hear and those eyes to see. So it appears. And oh my, the wondrous word that he read unto them, which was the reality that it had come to pass. And oh yes, here he was, the one of whom the prophets had written. And yet all they can see him as is the son of Joseph. No, yes, they got very angry. Got very angry, oh my, and just kind of ran him out of that synagogue. They were filled with wrath and just ran him out, rose up and thrust him out of the city. And oh my, chased him to the brow of the hill whereon their city was built. Oh my, I'm sure it was very high up, and oh yes, they were thinking they were going to cast him down headlong. But praise the Lord, no, it wasn't his time, and that it wasn't going to happen that way. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. Oh, praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, I'm so glad, oh my, that God has given us eyes to see. There are those that reject him to this day. But oh my, what a wonderful thing it is that we can comprehend who Jesus is. Oh yes, that we can look in his word and we can see all the prophecies that were written of old and realize, my, they've been fulfilled. those that pertain to his first coming. They've been fulfilled. Jesus Christ did come, and he did do everything that they had designated that he would do, that they had ordained that he would do. And we know that of a surety. We know that in our hearts. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you know, as we read the Gospels, we realize that as Jesus taught, we see that he was continually fulfilling the scripture, step by step, measure by measure, you know, little by little, you know, it was all coming to pass until it was completed, those scriptures that pertain to his first coming. And having said that, I'd like to turn to John, the second chapter here, and then go to that first recorded miracle here in the book of John. Praise the Lord. And let's just read a little bit here and then have the Lord direct us a little bit. I just marvel. I'm so thankful that, God has opened up our eyes and our understanding, and his own people rejecting him as it was. But oh, praise the Lord. Thank God, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Praise the Lord. And oh, I love how that's explained in John, the first chapter. It goes on to say in the 13th verse, John 1, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, praise the Lord, because there is a rebirth. Oh, yes, a rebirth. Oh, yes, where the Lord comes into our life when we, oh, realize who he is and acknowledge him and, oh, turn our hearts over to him and, oh, embrace the gospel and repent of our sins and believe that command to be baptized. Oh, praise the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank the Lord. Yes, and go on to receive the promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, that's a wonder and a beautiful thing. Thank the Lord. But here it is, John, the second chapter. And, you know, we've been dealing a lot with the first chapter there, that portion where Philip and Nathanael had come to him, and of course before that Andrew had come and brought his brother, and you know, it was after John had pointed out to them, or especially first to Andrew, you know, that behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Oh my, but praise the Lord, as and it was said there in the 29th verse of that first chapter of John. But, you know, we have been dealing a lot with that, and I believe it tells us here in the second chapter, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. So if the first day was the day that Andrew began to follow Jesus, and I reckon it was right after Jesus was baptized. And, you know, so if that is the first day, and this is how I see it, and then, you know, it talks about the day following when, you know, Jesus would go into Galilee, and, you know, then he found Philip and so on, and Philip found Nathanael. And so it seems, you know, all these events there that happened, and now it tells us in John chapter 2, verse 1, and the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And it tells us that both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And let me just explain something here. That word wine here in the Greek comes from the word winos, and in the Greek it has three different meanings. It can refer to an alcoholic beverage, or it can refer to grape juice, or it could even refer to a grape preserve. So, you know, just because the word is wine, and the way we may
traditionally interpreted in these times does not mean it was alcoholic. But the tendency would be, the best wine would be the wine that was, very fresh and was not fermented. That was the very best. And then typically at such occasions as this wedding, they would serve the best wine first, and then, was needed after that would be served later. And so, it wouldn't be as good as the initial first wine that was served at the beginning. But anyway, the case is they have ran out of wine. They have no wine. And Jesus' own mother comes to him to tell him that. And Mary obviously had, insights. She knew way more than most people did about her son. And so Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." And I take that to mean that his ministry had not yet fully begun at this moment. But his mother has confidence and faith that he can do things that are impossible. It was in her heart to know this. So his mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And then it begins to tell us, "And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece." And these were obviously empty at the moment, but these were heavy. A firkin would hold, something maybe a little less than 9 English gallons. So if you're going to multiply that by 2 or 3, it's going to be very, very heavy, 18 to 27 gallons in one of these water pots, obviously. But obviously very strong, and they held a lot, obviously. So the servants, obviously called, as Mary has called them. And Jesus saith unto them in verse 7, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And, I think maybe more than one person maybe would have had to carry one of those water pots, because, if they've got 18 to 27 gallons, that's pretty heavy. But they did what Jesus asked them to do, to fill those water pots up with water. And they filled them very full to the brim. And then he saith unto them, "Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And of course, he was in charge, this governor of the feast, and so he would be the one that would taste the wine first before others did. So it tells us in verse 9, "When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now." Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, it was wonderful wine. It was very unfermented. It was, the best, the freshest that it could possibly be. And so it tells us this beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and was manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. So this miracle helped them to perceive even in a deeper manner who Jesus was. And oh yes, I'm sure it spread to all those that witnessed. But oh yes, from this event at Cana, Jesus is going to go to Capernaum. And I don't think Capernaum was too far from Cana. But anyway, it tells us, after this, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continue there not many days. So obviously they don't stay too long in Capernaum. And yes, it's, you know, not just Jesus, but his mother Mary is with him, and his brothers, his natural brothers, I believe from that context, and his disciples. Quite a little group there. And so they were there, I would say, a short time. And it tells us next, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And, you know, obviously, this made Jesus obviously very angry. Here it is, this house that was to be called a house of prayer for all people was being made a den of thieves. And oh yes, Jesus very upset. And he made a scourge, or it would be also like a whip. Or maybe we'd say that scourge, I'm not sure, of small cords. And you know, so it's heavy enough to do the job. And he used that whip made of small cords to drive them all out of the temple. And the sheep and the oxen. And he poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. You know, this was quite something here. I do suppose they had been doing this for a long, many times, many years. And, you know, it wasn't really fair. For one thing, it was a disgrace that they were selling the creatures there at all. But here they would sell these creatures, and, you know, at a good price for sure. And they would insist that the people would use temple coins. And it must have brought in a very huge revenue there, because it's estimated that even several years ago, and money is certainly way more at this point than it was, say, in the 60s, because I was looking at my Unglers, which is kind of a older book at this point, and they estimated that they would have profited, these money changers who sat there, you know, to about $40,000 to $45,000 back at that time. You know, they were overcharging the people, the common people who would come in, because yes, as I said, they insisted upon them using the temple coins. And every Israelite, whether they be rich or poor, would reach year 20 of age, and you know, they were required to pay a half shekel of Hebrew coin, and you know, there as an offering. But here they were charging this great amount for them to buy sheep, oxen, doves, or whatever all that they had brought to the temple to sell for offerings, obviously. But Jesus comes in, yes, and he drove them all out of the temple. Oh, I'm sure that he was very upset to see this place that had been set aside as a place of worship, a special place where they would call out to God, and oh yes, where their souls would be fed. And here, oh, were those people, those money changers sitting there, oh, making oodles of money, money that they didn't deserve or wasn't theirs to make, and overcharging the common folks. Jesus was upset. Oh, yes, he was very upset when he came into the temple and found them selling the oxen, sheep, and the doves, and the changers of money sitting right there. Oh, yes, he went in there. He drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, poured out the changers' money, and he overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house and house of merchandise. You know, and then it tells us, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And oh yes, they knew enough scripture to realize, oh yes, what had been prophesied in times of old was now a reality. And oh yes, these are even taken from the Psalms. We turn to Psalm 69, we can read, oh yes, where this statement is recorded here. Psalm 69, verse 9, it reads, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And then continues, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Oh yes, and oh yes, we see it very similarly in Psalms 119, if we go there also. Down to the 139th verse in Psalms 119. That verse reads, my zeal hath consumed me because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Oh my. It had been such a long time since, oh yes, they had thought about the words of life that were written in the scripture. Here they were, these carnal people sitting in the house that had been set aside as a house of God. Oh yes, it was true. These disciples understood how these verses were being fulfilled at that very moment. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Oh, so amazing. And so it was all the works that Jesus did. They were fulfillment of that which had been written in the book of Moses and in the law. Oh, yes, and by the prophets. Amen. Oh, yes. Those words, yes, that had been proclaimed by the anointing of God. When Jesus came into the temple the second time there, before he was brought to Golgotha, to Calvary, there and again he entered into the temple, and oh yes, he found those money changers there again. He found that there in Jerusalem, they were selling and buying in the temple again. And yes, that second time he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. That's recorded in Mark, the 11th chapter in this case. And he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And oh yes, this saying too had been prophesied by Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 7. Oh yes, God in his all-knowing, how he knew all things, knew that would come, what would come to pass, the reactions of mankind. Oh my. That's quite a passage there in Isaiah chapter 56. It tells us there, verse 4, for thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taking hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Praise the Lord. Yes, the Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him besides those that are gathered unto him. Oh, praise the Lord, all these prophetic utterances here. But oh yes, it had been declared by the mouth of the prophet Isaiah through the anointing of God, oh yes, that all those that had the sense to acknowledge God and to keep his ways, to keep his Sabbaths, and oh yes, we refrain, oh yes, from doing sin by keeping the Sabbath, as it's told us there in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And oh yes, those, even though they were strangers, even though they were eunuchs, all of that, those that would dare to come to God and accept his salvation, his wonderful mercy, oh yes, God was going to allow them into his place of prayer. Oh yes, that temple that had been designated. Oh yes, the Jews thought it all was, you know, for their benefits. But in reality, oh yes, God had ordained that it would be called a house of prayer for all people. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, yes. But those Jewish individuals had made it a den of thieves. Oh my. So yes, they were astonished at his teachings. And oh yes, you know, it's even told us that, you know, there after Jesus had chased those money changers out and got rid of all those critters that did not belong in there, oh my, that the people came. They came into the temple and Jesus healed them. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, great things happen when things are made right. Oh, praise the Lord. After, oh yes, the devil tries to influence people and have his way, but oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a blessing when things are made right. And true worship, all that worship in spirit and in truth which the Father seeketh is restored. Oh yes, it's told us in Matthew 21, verse 14, after Jesus chased them out and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. Praise the Lord, amen. Oh, the great works of God that follow when things are made right. Praise the Lord. But oh yes, the marvel of it all. And oh yes, we know that among all the fulfillments of prophecies, there was that fulfillment of miracles. Oh yes, that Jesus came to bring forth, to do. Oh yes, to deliver, to save. Oh, to restore. Oh yes, to bless, to heal. Praise the Lord. If we go to Matthew, the 11th chapter, and read a little bit, we get a little taste of the works of Jesus Christ, the miracles that he did. It tells us here, Matthew 11, verse 1, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, and of course, this is John the Baptist, he sent two of his disciples and said unto them, or said unto him, rather, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? I suppose, you know, sometimes you just get to a low spot and, you know, you just might have just a moment where you just need some verification. And it seems to me that, you know, John the Baptist, now cast into prison and now, you know, not able to be out there in the open and declare the works of God, you know, had just a moment of doubt. And so he sent two of his disciples to come to Jesus and ask, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And I love how Jesus responded and answered this question. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, had these works been prophesied? Oh, indeed they had. And of course, we go to places in Isaiah, we can see where Isaiah proclaimed such would come to pass. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 29. Here it tells us as we go down to verse 18. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Praise the Lord. That make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate, and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. Oh, all of that will be taken care of, amen. Oh, those that offend and try to trap the people of God, all of that will be brought to naught, their evil, dirty works. But praise the Lord, yes, it was prophesied in that day. And I love how, you know, Isaiah will use that term, and in that day, and it indicates the time when Jesus Christ would come, when he'd bring forth a new covenant in his blood. And in that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. Oh, the world was in such darkness at that moment. And oh, praise the Lord, the wonder of it when Jesus Christ came forth, and oh, out of the darkness which covered the earth. You know, thinking how Isaiah chapter 60 starts, where it talks about arise, shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It talks about, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Prior to that event, that glorious event, oh, yes, there was obscurity. Things were not clear. And, oh, yes, there was darkness. But praise the Lord, it says, the meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, it was prophesied. Oh, that he would come forth, the Messiah, the one, oh, yes, that they were looking forward to. He would come forth, and oh, there would be great deliverance. Oh, great miracles would come forth. Isaiah 35 also brings forth all that detail, tells us in verse 5, Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart," or a deer in other words, "and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out in streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool in the thirsty land, springs of water. In the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for these," or for those, "the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. But praise the Lord, who goes in, who goes on that highway, but the redeemed shall walk there. Oh, praise the Lord, that highway, oh, that is called the way of holiness, the way, oh yes, Jesus came forth to proclaim the way. And yes, he was bringing forth that way of holiness. Oh, that way that the unclean were not going to pass over. And you weren't going to get there just by coincidence. Oh, no, you know, there wasn't going to be any ravenous beast, you know, no lion, no filthy thing on this road of holiness. But praise the Lord, oh, there would be those that would walk it. The redeemed of the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, they would walk that road of holiness. It tells us, "And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away." Oh, praise the Lord, yes. Because Jesus brought forth the message of salvation. Oh, yes, it was going to be different now. Oh, yes. All those healings that came forth, those miracles, those that were delivered, all that had been bound, that, oh, yes, had been hindered by the works of the devil, those that were brokenhearted, oh, yes, oh, that brokenheartedness would be bound up by the grace and mercy of our Lord. Praise the Lord. The captives would find liberty, and, oh, yes, anyone who is under the bondage of sin is captive to the devil. Oh, yes, those that were in prison, oh, that prison would be opened. Praise the Lord, as Jesus spoke forth there. Luke, the 4th chapter, as had been recorded in Isaiah 61. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus was coming forth to do those works. And yes, that was a witness that Jesus told John's disciples to go forth and tell John, this is the evidence. Oh, this is how you know that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the one that was to come into the world. Amen. No need to look for another. Yes, the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Praise the Lord. Poor in spirit. And oh, yes, often it was the poor that, you know, didn't have all that much wealth, that were willing to listen, willing to hear, willing to heed those words of life. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And praise the Lord, it continues. Jesus, as he ministered, was fulfilling scripture. Oh, it goes on to tell us, even in the 12th chapter of Matthew, there is, oh, yes, the Pharisees were upset because Jesus on the Sabbath day went through the corn His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck ears of corn and eat. And yes, of course, the Pharisees came after them and told them that they were doing things that were not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. Of course, Jesus had his answers, and they were perfect. Amen. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, the disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the show bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" But Jesus went on to state, "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." Oh, they didn't get it, those Pharisees. They were so full of themselves and the letter of the law that, oh, they couldn't begin to see that Jesus was the Messiah. He was the Christ. He was the one that had been foreordained to come into the world. God manifested in flesh. Praise the Lord. He was greater than the temple. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then he said, "But if he had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' he would not have condemned the guiltless." Oh my. He's quoting from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. And he went on to say, "For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, so many didn't understand. Oh, they just saw him as the son of Joseph, or, you know, just maybe a prophet, or, you know, somebody who had some ability. But oh my, he was way greater than that. He was Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God. He was the Messiah who was to come into the world. And Jesus went on, verse 9 here in Matthew 12, "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, 'Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?' That they might accuse him." Or were they just waiting, you know, to see what Jesus would do so they could just, you know, rip him apart. "And he said unto them, 'What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days.' Then saith he to the man, 'Stretch forth thine hand.' And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." Praise the Lord, fulfilling scripture, doing the will of his Father, which was in heaven. And it tells us in verse 16, "And he charged them that they should not make him known." This too we find is a fulfillment of scripture. Here it tells us, verse 17, "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, there Jesus was quoting from Isaiah chapter 42.
Oh, and what a marvel this is. What a beautiful passage. Let's just go there. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 42. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 42. Starting with verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. You know, they didn't have a trumpeter, you know, proclaiming, you know, this is he, this is the Christ, this is the Messiah. No, he didn't make any proclamations like that. He just went about doing good, doing the will of his Father, which was in heaven, fulfilling the scripture. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. Yeah, you know, he wasn't making a big statement so, you know, they would all see and know who he, you know, who he was, you know, by declaration. No, he wanted his people to see it for themselves, to know it in their hearts, that it would be revealed to their, to them as individuals. And oh yes, that they would all personally have that understanding and assurance. And it goes on, a bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. See, he's quoting from Matthew 12. And oh yes, that which was already broken, he was going to break. But if it was already on fire, if it was already burning, he was not going to quench it either. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Yes. Oh yes, that was the beginning. Oh, as Jesus walked this earth, oh yes, he was paving the way. He was bringing forth the new covenant. He was, oh yes, ushering it into the world. And it tells us he shall not fail nor be discouraged till he hath set judgment in the earth. And praise the Lord, that kingdom, oh, is extended. It is continuing. Oh, yes, and there is that call that comes forth this very day to those that will hear and heed. Oh, yes, and believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, yes, and he was not going to fail. He was not going to be discouraged. Oh, until that moment comes forth when he has set judgment in the earth. And it tells us the isle shall wait for his law. Oh, yes, the outer regions, you know, the islands, oh, the people that were looking and longing for the truth. Oh, praise the Lord. Goes on, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Praise the Lord, oh, the works of the Lord. Yes, what he came to do, oh yes, how he came to save, how he came to deliver, oh yes, how he came to heal. Praise the Lord, how he came to give hope. It says in verse 8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. It tells us, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein,
the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voices, or their voice, the villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Oh, that joy, that blessing. Oh, yes, when we have that understanding. Oh, yes, that the Messiah has come. Oh, yes, the Savior is, oh, yes, oh, here to meet every need, to intervene in the lives and affairs of mankind. Oh, yes, to save, to heal. Oh, yes, to deliver. Oh, we have a right to sing unto the Lord. Oh, yes, and there is a reason we should sing unto the Lord. A new song, a new praise. Oh, yes, because, it's not like it was in times of old. No, those prophetic utterances that declared a Savior was coming, oh, who would set them free, who would bring them out of the world of sin, had indeed come forth. Oh, yes. Even that declaration that had made to Adam and Eve after sin entered into the world. Oh, you can imagine how heavy that was to have lived in that paradise, to have had fellowship with God, oh, who walked with them in the cool of the evening. Oh, my, and all at once it was over. All at once sin had entered into the world and there was fear. Oh, yes, and there was death. And yet there was a promise, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Oh, that declaration. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, that would come into the world to seek and to save those that were lost. Oh, yes, all the prophetic utterances of old, oh, yes, were all fulfilled, those that pertain to Jesus' first coming. Oh, yes, it gave us a reason to sing. He who opened the blind eyes, he who brought those that were prisoners out of the prison, and oh, he who gave hope to them that sat in darkness. Praise the Lord out of the prison house. Praise the Lord. We have a reason to sing unto the Lord a new song. Oh, his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. It says, let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit. Let the inhabitants of the rocks sing. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. We are so blessed to be on this side of Calvary. Oh, yes, and I can totally understand, oh, yes, oh, why Isaiah could declare, he could perceive that all this day would bring such joy, such hope, a new day of hope, oh, a reason to be alive, oh, yes, a reason to rejoice, praise the Lord, a reason to glorify God, because Jesus Christ has come into the world, oh, yes, to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, yes. And praise the Lord. By his grace and mercy, we have found him. Praise the Lord. We have found him. And oh, can know in our heart that indeed he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He was the one that the prophets declared would come into the world. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. That song of praise that he puts in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God we have found him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We have such hope in our hearts.
and such a reason to rejoice in the God of our salvation, Lord, the one who has delivered us, who has set us free, oh my, oh God, who has healed us of our diseases, Lord, oh God, and has saved our souls from hell, oh God, thank you, Lord, from the lake of fire, oh praise the Lord, we thank you, Jesus. We do praise thee, Lord. We do lift up our voices to praise thee, to honor thee, to exalt thee, to worship thee, Lord. Oh, Lord, for thou art great and greatly to be praised. And thank God. Oh, we have heard the joyful news and the glad tidings. Thank you, Lord. We praise thee and worship thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Praise the Lord. We're going to be singing a song in just a moment, but before we do that, I do have a prayer request here from Sister Sharon, who would like prayer for Sister Pauline in Singapore, who has her doctor review today, and we're going to pray that that goes well and that we receive a good report. Yeah. Father in heaven, we come to thee in prayer this night on behalf of Sister Pauline, thanking the Lord for all that thou hast done for her already. We pray that thy hand would be upon her as she undergoes this doctor review. We pray that there would be a good report. We pray that thou would give the doctors wisdom and direction in all things. We pray that the report would be encouraging. We ask that thou would strengthen her with might from above. We ask that thy hand would be upon her. We pray, Lord, that thy spirit would work in her mightily. And we pray, Lord, that she would feel thy presence as she goes to this appointment and feel thy presence each and every day. We ask this and pray this in Jesus' name through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to open our Melodies of Praise hymnals in closing to number 199 and sing Jesus Saves. I think that's actually 198. Melodies of Praise. Time. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory, Jesus. God bless you all. Be safe. Have a wonderful night. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.